Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golfing season right here on ESPN 1000. You can also check us out on 100.3 HD2. Mike, I am out in Savannah, Georgia, the Hilton Head, South Carolina area as well, prime golfing territory. Didn't bring my clubs out here for my sister's graduation, but there are plenty of great little pockets of golf throughout the United States, and this is certainly one of them. You're back in Chicago. You may have better weather than me now, actually, because I think I came out here for the wrong week because the weather in Chicago is actually going to outdo Savannah, Georgia. You don't get that many out of the 52 weeks of the year, though.
Well, good morning, Tyler. Yeah, and I have to tell you, it is nice here. It is really nice here. Maybe the best weekend of the entire summer. So just stay where you are and let us enjoy this weather is what I would say. But no, we really are having some spectacular weather. Although, much to the chagrin of many of the superintendents around here that I spoke to this week, they're dying for rain. Golf courses have now become more like road surfaces, the fairways, and everybody's hitting longer tee shots than they ever have, and greens are firming up, and everybody's playing a fast track these days.
Yeah, I think it's nice for the players for sure. They get to, like you mentioned, get to pad their stats a little bit with the driving distances, maybe feel a little bit better on the greens and all that stuff. But it's certainly been a nice little stretch, and I'm sure plenty of people getting on out and playing. So let us know where you're at, 312-332-3776. We'd love to have you check in with us. Let us know where you're heading out to. But with me being all the way in Savannah, you being in Chicago, two places where you can find some fantastic golf in the areas that we're in right now. But for you, Mike, everyone's got these golf trips that they've been on, these golf bucket list trips that they want to get out to as well. But do you have a couple of favorites from over the course of the years? I mean, you've been to every part of the country to play golf. You've lived in various parts of this country, and golf has certainly been a part of what's brought you to different parts of the country. What, for you, are some of the golf trips that have been most memorable and some of the areas in the United States that are some of your favorite places to play?
Well, you're near one of them, Pinehurst. Pinehurst, yes, to me, is the holy grail of golf, especially in the Southeast. They know how not only to treat you as the guest to one of the most amazing golf experiences. It's one of those places where you drop your clubs off. Yeah, there's 10 golf courses all around Pinehurst, but your clubs always seem to make it right to that first tee with your caddy ready to go. They have things so organized, but that place just exudes history. It's just, it's so cool, and it's so quaint, the little town of Pinehurst. And when you can share it with some friends and family, it makes the trip that much better. And without question, you know, for me, Pinehurst was on the bucket list, and it will always remain on the bucket list because I can't wait to go back. I was sad to leave, and it's one of those places that when you know you're sad leaving a place, you know it had it left a mark on you, and Pinehurst certainly did that for me.
I'm right there with you on Pinehurst. I was fortunate enough to go 2 years ago. We played number two, number three, number four, and number eight. And you can't obviously choose the championship style course that you go out there and you recognize all the different holes. But I mean, you go to number four, and they've got some beautiful holes out there as well. I think number eight might be the most peaceful place on earth because of just the, it just feels like you're out there on the course with you and your thoughts. It's really a special place out there. And just, you're right. Like the town itself is another one of those just golfing towns. You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Cooperstown, what Cooperstown is for baseball. It feels like Pinehurst is for golf in a way.
It really is. And in fact, to your point, they're going to be moving a Hall of Fame there. So that analogy is really spot on. So, the USGA is going to have a museum there. Maybe not the Hall of Fame, but they're going to have a museum there, I should say. But yeah, that place is exactly like a Cooperstown in the Southeast. But, you know, you mentioned course 8. I would agree with you there. I actually think course 4 might actually be more enjoyable and more playable than course 2. They've hosted U.S. amateurs there and other major events, but 2 gets all the accolades, but 4 was probably the most enjoyable of them all for me.
Well, yeah, you go down there, and I'm right there with you. I actually preferred 4 over 2, and they're both fantastic, don't get me wrong, but you look at you hear all the superintendents there and the starters, and everyone is going to tell you there, you know, you come down here for number 2, but you come back for number 4. And that certainly was the case for me. Number 4 was I feel like number 4 is definitely a more scenic golf course, almost, because of the way that the course is laid out, some of the holes and the design and all that stuff. But the nice part too is when you do go down to Pinehurst, North Carolina, it's not just Pinehurst that you can go to. There's places in the area as well that also have phenomenal golf courses too. The whole state has a bunch of them. I think North Carolina is probably up there on most people's power rankings of best states to go play golf in. But you can go down the road and find Pine Needles. You can go out to Tobacco Road, which was one of my absolute favorite tracks in the entire area. There's so many different spots. And if you've got a favorite golf destination and trip that you've taken, a course that you've gone out and played, let us know. 312-332-3776. We'd love to hear all of your golf destination trips and spots and all that stuff. And maybe you've got a hidden gem as well out there that you want to enlighten us on. 312-332-3776. You want to jump on into the conversation here. But yeah, I'm right there in lockstep with you. Pinehurst, certainly my favorite spot. There's a bunch of other places. I know you've been. Do you have like a top 4 or 5 couple of courses that you've played across the United States?
Well, from a resort or a destination perspective, again, I wouldn't go too much further down the road or for you, just up the coast a bit to Kiawa. Kiawa, for me, it was another fantastic place. The ocean course and all the other courses that support the resort of Kiawa. Then you get into that whole Charleston area, which may be one of the more, you know, beautiful, touristy kind of cities to visit. But the golf that goes right along with it, all in the South Carolina, all around the low country, if you will, is just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, the Southeast there is really good. I think Stream Song down in Florida is another one. I mean, it's hard to talk without mentioning Pebble Beach. I mean, Pebble Beach is probably everybody's bucket list for sure. Whether you have the wallet that can handle the green fee out that way is a whole nother matter. But then, you know, you start looking more regionally here, and I have to tell you, Kohler and Whistling Straits, we may be spoiled about how close it is to us and, you know, say, yeah, it's just up in Wisconsin. But man, when you pull into that area of Wisconsin, you just don't even think you're in Wisconsin anymore.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think another one that me and my buddies have on our bucket list to get to one day, Bandon Dunes out in Oregon. That's another one that – have you been to that one?
I have not, but ironically, the CDGA has booked a member trip there for the fall of 2024, and that's a hot take. That just happened. So for those who do want to go to Bandon Dunes, we are going to be able to provide that to you come next fall.
And that's one of those things like 2024 you bring up there. You got to get out in front of it if you want to go to a place like Bandon Dunes. I remember the first time I met our friend Eric Ciotti, he was wearing a Bandon Dunes hat. And I was like, oh, that's one of the spots that I really want to get to. And he had I think he had just played or played like maybe within the past year or so of the time that I had met him. But yeah, that's another one on my list out there of places that I want to get to. There's so many places up and down throughout Florida and all that stuff. What for you are some of the underrated states maybe to try to get out to. You brought up Wisconsin as being one of them with Kohler. Are there any other of the underrated states out there that people may be missing that maybe you could go out and find some good value as well when you're going out and trying to book a trip?
Well, I would tell you, in fact, Monday, or tomorrow, I should say, actually tomorrow, 20 members and myself, CDGA members, are heading down to French Lick. Now, a lot of people think of French Lick, Larry Bird, right? But French Lick Resort has got two of the most fantastic golf courses in the Donald Ross and the Pete Dye course. And in fact, they just signed a deal with the Korn Ferry Tour. They are going to be the tour championship final site of the year for 2024 through 2026. So French Lick has entered into a big agreement with the PGA Tour, and rightfully so, because it is a fantastic venue. It has an amazing casino and hotel on property. And yes, all of this in French Lick, Indiana. So yep. I think Indiana has a few hidden gems. I think Michigan, believe it or not, Michigan has, from what I understand, the most golf courses per capita in any state that we have in our country. So that place is blessed with all kinds of good golf if you decide to go up to the UP. But, you know, one of the, you know, the advertisers on our show, Tullymore, if you want a really good deal, and it's not that far away, it's only like 3.5 hours out, is Tullymore up in Michigan. So just the states that border up to us between Wisconsin, Michigan, you know, Indiana, all of those very underrated when the weather gets good. And that's the downside of trying to play some destination golf in our area, that you are confined to a very short, short window.
And speaking of which, this segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up the most golf courses per capita, which is kind of funny to me because you can only play golf up in Michigan for what, 4-ish months of the year? If you're lucky, you'll get a fifth of really good golfing, yet they have so many courses up there to choose from, and you can go to pretty much any pocket of the state, whether it's the Detroit area, whether it's the western part of the state, whether you want to go all the way up to the UP, they've got courses pretty much any which area up in Michigan. So, yeah, there's certainly a lot of different areas to go out and go about it there in that state. If you've got a golf trip or destination you want to hit us with, 312-332-3776. That's the number to call if you want to jump on into the conversation. We will take all of your calls coming up next. And on top of that, some celebrities have been spotted out there on the golf courses as well. Mike's got a couple of really, really interesting and fascinating stories about some of the celeb run-ins that he's had on the golf course. We'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment is brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. Looking forward to this. Chicago Bears head coach Matt Eberflus caught up with the CDGA. You'll get to hear a little bit of his conversation with Casey Richards and company in just a little bit. Ran into the guys up at Hallis Hall earlier this week, and they were talking with Coach Eberflus, who is a very, very avid and good golfer as well. So you'll hear from the coach coming up in just a little bit. But I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but this is from a little bit earlier, towards the end of May. Harry Styles was out at the Old Course playing golf the other day. And this is one of those really interesting things where he just can go out there and be himself. You know, a lot of these people, Taylor Swift's in town. Taylor Swift can't just go tee it up at any of these courses around here without a crowd coming and surrounding her, right? Harry Styles the same way, but he did make a little bit time in the middle of his tour out in Europe to stop at the Old Course at St. Andrews. And what's interesting is when he's pulling up to 18, there is an Open Championship caliber crowd waiting for him in the gallery there, watching him putt out on 18. And it was funny too, he's even coming off the course and he fakes a ball toss to the crowd like it was like he was actually playing in the Open Championship or in a tournament style. But yeah, Harry Styles, he's known to play around here as well. I believe the last time he was in town, he was at Medina playing, getting a quick round of 18 in before his next tour concert and show. And he even, I remember his last tour when he was in Chicago, he got even a little bit of extra golf time because that first show that he did ended up getting canceled, or rather postponed, I should say, because one of his crew members ended up getting sick, so they couldn't do the show that night, and they had to push it, and he was able to get in a little extra golf out there. But Harry Styles, you might be able to catch him. There were some pictures of him at Medina, but he was out at the Old Course at St. Andrews earlier this week.
That's amazing. Those guys get an opportunity to see some amazing places all over the world when it comes to golf. So I always like to hear the celebrities' bucket list, if you will, because they really get a chance to see some of the most remote places and some of the most unique places. And to have a chance to have the experience that he had at the Old Course, that you can't make that stuff up. That's just awesome.
Yeah. So have you had any celebrity run-ins on the golf course out there before?
Oh, yes, I have. And a few have really, really, really made their mark on me. Specifically, early in my career, I was out at Riviera, and we were having the 1995 PGA Championship out at Riviera Country Club. And so part of my job was to help consult and get the event ready. And so I would make visits out to the club on a regular basis. So May 1994, I'm out at Riviera, and Dick Caruso, the general chairman, goes, "Hey, would you like to meet somebody? He's coming up this hole right now." And I said, "Who?" He goes, "I think you'll recognize him when you see him." And so as soon as he walked up, it was O.J. Simpson.
Wow.
Now, this is 3 weeks before the actual incident occurred. So at this point,
So 3 weeks before the chase?
Yeah. Three weeks before the actual, well, let's just say the what happened to Nicole and whether he did it or not, but the chase and all of that. So I got to meet him when he was at the height of who he was.
Right.
And just a matter of a few weeks later, I'm out at Oakmont at the U.S. Open on that infamous Friday. And his world and the perception of OJ all changed in that moment. And it was the most surreal thing. And it's still to this day, when I think back about my first encounter with OJ and how amazed and how in awe I was of this, you know, athlete and this celebrity. And, you know, he's in the Naked Gun movies. And I mean, he had the world, you know, by the cojones. And, you know, all of a sudden it all changed. And what was really unique for me was being able to then go back out to Riviera as all of this transpired through August of 1995. And so for me, that's probably the first on the bucket list. At the time, OJ was a great guy. I mean, I was like, yeah, this guy's got it together. He knows how to treat people. He just lights up the room when he talks to you. It's all of that. And when I saw it all crumble, when he was driving around in a white Bronco, I was like, 3 weeks ago, I just met this guy. And it was just, still to this day, it's just the oddest feeling for me in that regard. But that would lead the list. When I was in Pittsburgh playing with a fraternity brother at the Pittsburgh Field Club, we came in, and sure enough, who was two groups behind us, we went back out to watch him, was Mario Lemieux. And then Mario came in to the grill and just sat there like the rest of us. And for the most part, all the people just left him alone. But again, another guy that was at the height of his career, couldn't have been a more super individual. And then another one that's rather unique. When I was at Wingfoot, I was playing the 14th hole on the West Course, and this gentleman by the name of Matt Lauer, NBC anchorman, was playing on the other golf course, and he was playing what I believe was the 6th hole, and he sliced the ball so badly. Now, I didn't know it was him at the time, but I was over my shot, and when I tell you the ball, I could hear it and feel it go right past my forehead and my ear and land like literally a foot and a half from where I was standing. You know, I was like, I can't wait to see who this guy is. And so, sure enough, here it is, Matt Lauer. And couldn't have been more of a gentleman and couldn't have been more apologetic, which made me feel better because he darn near crowned me with that thing. But, yeah, another great guy. And when I was at Wingfoot, I would run into a celebrity here and there. And one guy that I ran into quite often because he was a member there was Donald Trump. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I knew Donald Trump before he became president. So, yeah, those are just a few of the celebrity sightings I've seen around the country. Now, here in Chicago, I ran into Michael Jordan a couple of times at Glen Oak Country Club. Mm-hmm. And then when I was working at the Village Links back in the day in the mid 80s, Dennis Savard and all the Blackhawks that lived out in the western suburbs would all come out and play the Village Links on an everyday basis, especially when it became playoff time. And it was so crazy to see 4 to 8 Blackhawks coming out in the morning and knowing they're going to skate later that night. And they were such gentlemen back then. And I mean, they still are. They actually would leave us with tickets at times. And yeah, maybe they were standing room only or nosebleeds, but we didn't care. I mean, we were 17 years old heading down to the old Chicago Stadium, and we would always say we're guests of Steve Larmer and Dennis Savard.
That, yeah, it feels like everyone sort of has like a Jordan story too about the days. Like, I know he would frequent Sunset Valley, I believe. And just all the epic stories of him playing golf before going out and dropping 50 in a big playoff game, right? It seemed like that was the formula for him. Everyone's got routine these days. All these athletes, they make sure to get in their pregame nap. They get to the stadium X hours before the game, get some shots up, what have you. Jordan was, he would go out, play 18, sometimes 36 before a game, and then go out and drop 40 on your head like that. Like, that was the Michael Jordan way.
Oh, it sure was. I mean, and for, again, we always say golf is therapeutic. And I think, you know, for Jordan, in a way, it rid himself of some of that nervous energy during the day, but allowed his mind to go into a place that was, for him, a happy spot. And then he had the ability to walk off that golf course, flip the switch, and now it becomes, you know, I'm going to play like an assassin.
Right. So I had a run in, and this guy's not like super famous, but I had a run in, what was this now? Probably 2-3 weeks ago with Jimmy Sotos. I don't know if you're familiar with Jimmy Sotos, but he was a basketball player at Ohio State, but he has turned into a big TikToker. And I ran into him on the course out at Heritage Oaks. This was 2-3 weeks ago now. But he has turned himself into like a big TikToker out of his basketball career. So I ran into him the other day. He's got like hundreds of thousands of TikTok followers now. But that's my, I believe, my lone celebrity run-in on a course. But I'm sure there will be some to come down the ways at some point. But you always see, this is like, I think there's two places where you can really just run into celebrities. It's airports and golf courses. Those are the two places where if you want to, like, because there's no just private golf course in terms of like, oh, only one person can play here, right? It's your own, unless you're Michael Jordan. He's got his own golf course out there, I believe, in North Carolina. But unless you're Michael Jordan, you don't have your own quote-unquote golf course. It's for the masses. Even if it is for a select club of people, these are all for the masses. And that's the one way to sort of run into these people, whether it's, like you said, on the patio after a round, whether it's on the course, whether it's a guy almost striking you with a slice shot from 12 holes away, right? This is one of the ways that you can kind of rub elbows with some of these people. And it reminds you that, hey, sometimes they're just like us too.
No, and they really are. And no more is that the truth than when I actually have another guy that I ran into, not to name drop, but Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky was out at Wingfoot, and I ended up being invited to have lunch with the group. And I'm thinking this conversation is going to be all about hockey, which I'm a huge hockey fan. No. All Wayne Gretzky right. wanted to talk about was golf.
Right.
That's it.
The other thing, too.
That's
is it. When you talk to these guys, Peggy has an amazing story. Peggy Kaczynski has an amazing story of it was another one of the One Direction members. It wasn't Harry Styles, but she ran into him on a trip, and they got into talking about golf. And that's the only reason that was the connection in, because she saw him practicing his golf swing by a pool one time before. And as a result, struck up a conversation about golf, and that was the end. They didn't want to be bombarded by people. They just wanted to talk golf. And that's the thing, is when these guys are out of their elements, out of their professional realms, they don't want to talk about whether it was whether it was Wayne Gretzky talking hockey. No, these guys want to talk about golf, and because that's like one of their genuine interests, and that's why they're out there. So it's really cool to see stuff like that. But if you've got a celebrity running on the course, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. We'll take all of your calls, and you will hear from Matt Eberflus as well when we come back. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment is brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Welcome in to the CDGA Golf Show. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, talking all things golf with you. We're talking Harry Styles made an appearance out at the old course at St. Andrews last week. And, you know, the golf course is a place where you can run into celebrities from time to time. And this is something that Mike, he shared some great stories about some of the celeb run-ins that he's had out on the golf course, but we would love to hear from you as well. 312-332-3776. Bill is in Niles. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, Bill.
Yeah, I had a great one down in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I was a single playing Harbor Town. Starter says, hey, you're going to be playing with the Durhams. It's a great shake. Gets out of the cart. It was Ray Durham from the White Sox and his wife.
Wow.
He was retired at the time.
Oh, my God.
It was fantastic. And he tees off, I tee off. We go up to the women's tee. He introduces himself, or we don't just small talk, and he says, so where are you from? I said, I'm actually from Chicago. You know, we have down here for some time off. And he said, so I spent some time in Chicago, and I just looked at him because I'm a huge White Sox fan. He says, yeah. I said, yeah, Ray, I know. I said, I'm a huge White Sox fan. He says, really? He says, yeah. He said, we're going to have fun today. So then he tells his wife, and at the next, when we get up to the green, she's like, what are the chances? He was a class act, signed my card afterwards, and it was just an awesome 18 holes.
That's fantastic. So how about that? You go down to South Carolina, and what do you know? You play a little bit of golf with an all-star second baseman of the White Sox. That is great.
And you played Harbor Town, top it all places. Off.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate that. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation here, Bill is in Grays Lake. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. Another course you. That you have to go see that's beautiful is Arcadia Bluffs. I love that place. But I went to ASU, and I had opportunities to play with many athletes because they all live out there in the off season. One was at Greyhawk got a little game together with Nick Punto and Eric Gagne. And These athletes are incredible ball strikers. It's just really cool to see in person how hard they can hit the ball. It's insane. But I had a question for you guys. It's something me and my buddies go back and forth with. When we go to a course that's like, you know, a Pinehurst or wherever, it's something you don't play all the time. I always want to play the tips. I feel like when I don't play the tips, I leave there and I leave something like out of the experience. What do you guys do? Can't wait to listen and keep up the good work.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. So, Mike, where do you stand on that? Because I get what he's saying. You want to get the full golf experience, but you also you do want to play to your skill level. You don't want it to be a disaster round when you are at some of these spots.
No doubt. And, well, before he could get off the line, I wanted to find out what his index was. Because for me, that is the telling story. If you've got the game to go back to the tips, no doubt you want to go back to the tips.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, my index right now, I think, is 1.9 or whatnot. I'll only go back to the tips if I've got the right, you know, cast of people playing with me, because I do not want to make a bucket list course a miserable experience for the people that I'm playing with as well. So we pay real close attention to who's in the group, the playability, because we all want to walk away with it as a very positive experience. Not that we want to make the course easy by any stretch of imagination. It's just we want to make it fit our game. And I think your index will tell you that. USGA is coming out with a new program that they're beta testing this year. And it's all based on the tees you select are based on how far you hit your 7-iron. So I think that's something that's going to, you know, help with pace of play, is to literally get the tees correct so that you aren't that group that, why are they playing the tips? Shouldn't they know any better that there are 240-yard force carries from back there and they just don't have that club in the bag? So, yeah, we pay strict attention. But if I've got a bunch of single-digit indexes with me, to the back we go.
Right. I think that's the proper way to do it right there. And like, I remember when I was at a Pinehurst, like, the you got a caddy with you and he's showing you, all right, let's walk all the way back here when you're waiting at a hole. Come follow me all the way back here. This is where they shoot when they play the U.S. Open here. And you see, whoa, this is a totally different golf course when you're playing it from all the way back here as opposed to where you're about to tee off from at whatever tees that you play from. Because it really is spectacular how they do change some of these courses. And but to Bill's point, like, I get the want to play from the tips. I'm with you too, Mike. Like, if you are, just make sure that it's still going to be an enjoyable experience. Because I remember when we went to Pinehurst, we went with one guy who he's really, really good. And he's like, what he can out, he outpaces the rest of the group by far. So he would shoot from back there. We'd let him shoot from back there, but we would go up a tee box because we just could not compete, and it wouldn't have been as enjoyable for us if we were playing from the tees that our buddy Tim was playing from. It would have been a completely different experience for us, and I don't think it would have been one that we would have enjoyed as much.
Well, exactly. And in fact, I played Aaron Hills with a few other guys from the CDGA 2 years ago, and we all had a variety of indexes. We all played from what I consider, you know, not the far back tees, but we were back. We were back, what I would say, the blues anyway, but not the golds or blacks or whatever. But I had a very good round going, and my caddy was the one who said on 18, he goes, tell you what, let's go to the back tee where they played the U.S. Open. It's over 600 yards on the final hole. So he took me back there, and I love when caddies can recognize you've got game, you can hit it, let's bring you back, let's have you try a few holes, but let's not put you through the gauntlet the entire day. And he said, we're going to make, you know, par or better, I guarantee it, if you just listen to me. And I turned it all over to him, and he walked me through three shots to get it on the hole. It was a easy two putt, and I walked away with five from the very, very tip of 18 at Aaron Hills. But the caddy made the experience because he recognized the situation. He read us like a book and knew exactly how to make the day just that much sweeter for us at the end.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that's another part when you go to some of these places is if you're on the fence too about the caddy, do it, because you are going to get a different golfing experience. And like you just brought up there, that's certainly an example of that perfectly right there, because without that, you wouldn't have gotten a chance. So how many of the – did you say you played a couple holes or just that 18th?
Just the 18th there, okay. But I've also had it when, you know, I've been at other courses where when they've built a special tee or they did it for a special event that had come through either in the past year or in recent times, they'll take us back. It might be on the 4th or the 8th or the 12th hole. But they'll take us back. We might play that hole there from the back. And at the end of the day, out of the 18 holes, we might play three holes from the tips, but the other 15 from all up in front. And it has us afterwards, you know, you're sitting around having some cocktails after golf. And you start talking about those are some of the memories you're going to bring back to us. Yeah, we played 12, but we played 12 all the way back, you know.
Right.
And we didn't know there was a tee behind the back tee, which we thought was the back tee. That was the second to back tee. So, you know, you walk away with just a value-added experience when it's all said and done. But, you know, I liked what Bill said about the athletes, and I have to agree with him. Athletes are so freaking strong. They can compress a golf ball that's just not normal like the rest of us. And I watched it the other day. I had Randy Wells in my group in an outing on Monday. And that's a big boy. I did not realize that guy's 6'6". And he's built. And he can absolutely annihilate it. In fact, he hits it so hard that his spin rate is so high, the ball has a different flight to it than what I might see. But the entertaining part was, you know, it was one of these kind of holes or kind of outings where they had different things going on at different tee boxes, and one of them was a dunk tank. And so you had to throw balls at the, you know, the poor girl sitting up in the little dunk tank. And once they found out Randy Wells was in our group, everybody was throwing out $20 bills, telling him to throw for them. He dunked her 9 out of 10 throws. It was the funniest thing. But, I mean, so to your point, you'll run into these guys at golf courses, and it's just amazing because golf is that common denominator. And it's once you have that connection with a celebrity or just a regular person, and you both see the game or the interest in the game in the same vein, it connects you for life. It just does. Yep. And that's the magic of golf.
Yeah. And you bring up, too, with like these athletes and specifically like the pitchers, those guys, when they have their off days, specifically the pitchers, because they only go every fifth day, right? Like that's a lot of times what they'll end up doing. They'll go out and they'll go out and play golf on those off days for them, because, and especially spring training too, when you're in Florida or Arizona, boy, I mean, it's golf courses galore. And with these guys only going a couple innings, and pretty much once their day's over too, they end up leaving the park. So they pitch their 2 to 4 innings or whatever they're on the slate for that day. And then they take off right after they shower, take off. And then they go out and they'll go play some golf if they've got some daylight still left in it. So that's a heck of a way to spend an off day there for not just you and I, the common folk, but also for some of these professional athletes. And the coordination and the hand-eye that these guys have, too, is part of what really separates them and why it can be so natural for them as well. All right, we'll take a few more of your calls when we come back. And we will get to Matt Eberflus at 9 o'clock. He got a chance to sit down with the CDGA for a quick 9 on his golf game. Looking forward to hearing from the head coach of the Chicago Bears right here on ESPN 1000, your new home for the Chicago Bears. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, this segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This
segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Ocke and Mike Gilligan. We're here with you every single Saturday on the CDGA Golf Show. If you missed anything, be sure to check it out on the podcast, the CDGA Golf Show, wherever you get your podcast. Mike is in New Buffalo. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. I enjoy the show, first of all, every Saturday. Two things. I was commenting or listening about the if you should play the tips or not. And is a medium handicap, like between 10 and 15. Whenever I go out with some of the guys to these tougher courses, we've played the backs, even though maybe we shouldn't be, because we've had a theory, especially I learned this when going to Dubs Dread many years ago, that the traps are all set up based on your handicap. So if you have a course that has lots of traps, that like a single-digit player, he's going to be able to hit those traps from the tips, where if you're, at, let's say, in the 10 to 12, 15 range, you're going to come short of those typically. And if you're not a good sand player, this is like the way, you know, I approach it. And I'd rather be hitting off the fairway than hitting out of the traps. So it does actually kind of work sometimes that, you know, you have a, and eventually you have a longer shot into the green, but, you know, typically that's with a shorter iron. And so, you know, your odds, I think, aren't that bad. I mean, it's an interesting idea. Somebody might try it. And then secondly, I was earlier when you were talking about bumping into people, I was playing at a really nice course out in the East Coast, and we got done. I got over to the bar before the host, and who was a member, and I'm talking to this guy for about a half hour, waiting for the other fella to come down and for dinner, and we're talking about sports and everything. And he comes walking down and goes, you guys met? And I said, yeah. I said, we've just been talking about sports. And it was Chris O'Donnell from Robin, from Batman and Robin. And it turns out he grew up in Wilmette, and we knew a few people. I didn't grow up in Wilmette, but we knew a few people.
So, wow, that's another good one there, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. But to his theory there, do you subscribe to that? It's going to play different based on what your handicap index is?
He's right on certain levels, for sure. But where you start to get yourself into trouble, like if you go to the Ocean course, for example, at Kiowa, and you go to the back tees, if he is, you know, a mid to higher handicapper, he's going to have a very, very difficult time clearing a lot of the force carries. And that's part of the other issue, is that when they stick you back there, they're making the golf course just longer. So you are going to be using much longer clubs going into greens, for sure. But as long as there's not a lot of force carries, his theory does have merit to it, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I for one, with my game, I can get the distance. I'm not worried about the distance, but it's the erratic play in between the tee and the green that is the one that gives me a lot of trouble there. So I'm probably still going to play more towards my tees, but I wouldn't be afraid to go back with someone because I could still feel like distance-wise I could keep up. So I think that's another thing. Just know your distances too. If you can't bomb the golf ball, then definitely don't get yourself into some of these long approach shots into the green. You're talking like 200, 190 on some of these holes if you can't play it at the proper distance. So just some things to keep in mind when you do go out and you do maybe stretch yourself back on some of these tee boxes.
Yeah, just don't let the ego get too much in the way.
Right, really, exactly. Because you want to really humble yourself too. If you ever are fortunate enough to play a championship style golf course and you've got a caddy, just ask them to bring you back to where the tees are for a normal like a PGA Tour event or something like that. Just ask them to bring you back there, and you see the real difference of how those guys can hit the golf ball. Just from being at Pinehurst that one time, like you go back there on some of these holes and you see just the difference, and it's like, damn, can I even get this ball to where I'm teeing off? Like that's really the distance that these guys, I mean, you're talking about stretching back 150, 200 yards on some holes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny when we talk about going back to the back tees, knowing your audience and all of that. I had an experience in 1996 at Media Day. I was asked to play with Mark Brooks, who won the 1996 PGA Championship, because I was the only one who could go back and handle those tees with him. Then they stuck two other people with us, Gary McCord and Jim Nance.
Oh, wow.
For the first time in my life, I felt like a fish out of water. It was the most bizarre feeling of playing Wingfoot from the tips with these four. And I actually had Mark Brooks as my partner against Jim Nance, who played at the University of Houston and roomed with Freddie Couples and Blaine McAllister.
Right.
So Jim Nance is a heck of a golfer. And then Gary McCord. And Gary never saw Wingfoot, went around from the back tees and shot 66. And needless to say, Mark Brooks, I think I beat Mark Brooks that day, and we ended up losing quite a bit of money to him. But Gary McCord couldn't have been a nicer human being that day. He was helping, you know, each of us with our swings and this, that, and the other. And afterwards, I had him sign a book that had just come out, a range ball among a box of Titleist was the name of his book. And he signed it to Mike. Thanks for the playing lesson. I can't wait to get my money back from you. So it was polar opposite of what happened. But
has he cashed in yet? Has he cashed in on a second round with you?
Yeah, he has. I've actually spent time with him up in the broadcast booth at some of the events, and it's wild how they broadcast golf from the TV towers. I learned quite a bit. And Gary's just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I've enjoyed every moment of time I've had a chance to be with him. And, you know, it's nice to be able to call him a friend.
All right. When we come back, you will hear from Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears. He is quite the golfer himself. And he got a chance to sit down with the CDGA earlier this week. We'll play that for you when we come back. And also some stuff going on at the Memorial as well. And we'll get you briefed on everything you need to know for the longest day in golf coming up on Monday. We'll do all that when we return. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan here on the CDGA Golf Show. The segment brought to you by Tour Edge.